All right. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC. Without further delay, we got stuff to talk about. Look. I've got to tell you, I'm so full of things to say that I gotta slow myself down and get it to you straight. All right. So this news of Russia purportedly hacking the U.S. election, right? That's what you've heard. And well, if there ever was fake news, this is it. The title's so misleading, because, and this is so important because if you were a casual consumer of information from the drive-by media, from the mainstream media, and you just tuned in for a second or two and or maybe popped up, you know, CNN.com or whatever it was, the way you would interpret this, and not unreasonably, is that there has been evidence somehow discovered that Russia has tampered with voting machines, tampered with voting results, has paid for votes, or in some other way actually influenced the outcome of the election related to the votes being cast. And that is not the case. So Washington Post reported this on Friday, late Friday, and then the New York Times, not to be outdone, came out with their own piece on it yesterday, and reporting has continued. And so basically, it has nothing to do with voting machines. This is all just going back to the email hacks, right? You remember the Podesta emails? It's like a treasure trove of awesome stuff back and forth between Podesta and a bunch of people in the Democratic Party. Also, remember before that, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, her email got hacked. And nobody, by the way, nobody when these emails came out said that these emails weren't real, that they weren't, that they were inauthentic. Nobody disputed it. But now what people are saying is, well, hey, look, we've got the Republicans didn't get hacked. The RNC wasn't hacked. So it's got to be they targeted Democrats. That's it. They deliberately wanted to swing the election for Trump. Because if they hadn't, I mean, this is the evidence that's being put out. If they hadn't, they would have hacked the RNC too. Now, here's why this is all so important. You've got to be able to speak the language of the media in order to understand, or at least understand it, to get what they're going for here. And so I'll give you an example of this. So this is what the New York Times says. So by the way, this is December 11th. They write that American spy and law enforcement agencies were united in the belief in the weeks before the presidential election that the government had deployed computer hackers to sow chaos during the campaign. It's interesting. To sow chaos. Do they mean to tilt the election or just to sow chaos? Interesting. Now, apparently, they go on to write that this was all stuff that they knew before the election. They shared it with Obama. It made its way into Obama's briefing. You know, it was a daily intelligence brief. So apparently, people knew about this before the election. But remember back then, everybody was saying, well, Trump, you know, him going off on his conspiracy theories about, you know, about hackers tilting the light. I mean, remember, he was bringing some of this stuff up, too. And he was getting knocked down by Obama, wasn't he, back then? Well, now the Democrats from top to bottom, from the White House to the Clinton campaign to the DNC, everybody is full on board with this whole story that Russia's hacked the election because Russia somehow, and they don't cite specific evidence, by the way, in the briefings, that Russia somehow is the entity responsible for collecting all this, hacking into these emails and releasing it to the public. Okay. Who are the people that are releasing these emails? Who are they? Because I always want to know, right? I mean, you say the CIA is doing it. So Is the CIA this entity that is to always be trusted no matter what? It's funny because you usually from the left you hear how the CIA can't be trusted, that these are people that are dangerous. They've given too much latitude. They get our country into trouble, right? We've heard that. That was the refrain of the Bush years. So now the CIA is to be trusted at all times. And that's what we're hearing also from Republicans that are piling on from, well, Mitch McConnell and others. But here is who they are. Here's who the people are who provided this briefing to Congress. There's three people that gave the briefing. And you're not going to hear about this anywhere else. And you got to be the judge of this and determine what if you think that this makes any difference. So the three people that gave the briefing, one of them was Comey. Now, we know Comey, our old friend, director of the FBI. And the other person here, Johnson. All right, this guy, let's see here. Yeah, there's a Jeh Johnson. I think it's, or Jeh Johnson, J-E-H. At any rate, he's a counterterrorism advisor and Homeland Security Secretary. And he's a Democratic lawyer. I mean, he's a longtime Democratic Party operative. This guy is a Democrat. He's biased. He's in this, like, knee-deep, okay? Then you've got another gal. Her name is Lisa Monaco. She's a counterterrorism advisor, and she's also a longtime Democratic Party lawyer. So you've got Comey, who, by the way, is the guy who didn't prosecute Clinton, even though there's a mountain of evidence against her. Then you've got who else? You've got the Homeland Security chief, and you've got this lady Monica, who's the Democratic Party operative. They're all Democrats. And the reason I'm getting at this is because before there was this talk of this hacking, what did we hear about all last week? Fake news. That's right. Remember that. We talked about it here. These two things are linked inextricably. And I'm going to tell you why. So on one side, you've got data that's coming into the CIA. And understand this. Any person you talk to in intelligence is going to tell you that it's very difficult to draw a black and white conclusion. And if you read I'm not going to bore you with the quotes, but if you read the New York Times and you read the Washington Post articles, they're very oblique. They're careful. They dance around it. They say, well, some sources say this and others say that. They don't agree because the evidence isn't clear. And many times when it comes to intelligence, it's about reading tea leaves a little bit. There's no clear smoking gun. You've got to interpret the evidence that's in front of you. And that's when this little word comes into the equation, and that's bias. And bias matters. You know it matters. Now, not everybody with a bias is going to disclose it to you. I tell you every day what my bias is. I'm biased. There you have it. I'm a conservative. I'm a libertarian. I have my opinions, and I tell you the basis of where I'm coming from and why. But this is an opinion show. Well, there it is. But then you have CIA people, and they have their biases too. And maybe not the analysts themselves, but certainly the people at the top who are political appointees of the president, whose entire legacy just got booted in the rear by the repudiation of Hillary Clinton and her candidacy. And if you think that these guys, you know, the Obama-Clinton cabal is just going to turn over and give up without a whimper, you don't know these people the way I do. And so the biases of these actors that are involved in relaying, interpreting, relaying, testifying this information to Congress is going through their individual bias filters. And you can't discount that. And that's why this whole conversation about fake news is so important. Yes, because who decides what fake news is? You know, I've been listening and watching everything I can. I've been trying to soak up all this information, you know, so that I, I, I And you know, nobody really out there is explaining the fake news thing. You know, fake news is biased news. And there, I don't know if there's any other what or type of news out there. I think that everybody that's on TV has a bias. I think everyone that writes in a newspaper has a bias. It is a natural human disposition. If you are the kind of person that is looking at a lot of information, is interviewing people, is out and about and intelligent and whatever qualities you want to ascribe to journalists, maybe intelligence isn't one of them, but nonetheless, these are people that are going to have their own biases, they're going to have their own prejudice when they're reviewing information. And you need to know that. But you know what? You do know that. You know it. That's why you listen to the show. You choose your news sources carefully. You don't just go to CNN, you know, and go, oh, well, they say Clinton's great and Trump sucks, so that's great. Oh, good. Oh, that's it. Turn the TV off. I know what I should need to think now. No. You look around. You see what other different people are saying. And this takes me to, you've got to understand how liberals see the media. Because liberals truly believe that there is this attainable goal of non-opinion journalism. I've got to tell you, that's about as stupid as somebody thinking you can have a perfect communist society. Oh, you know, the only reason communism doesn't work is because, you know, it corrupts because it's not the right people running it. They didn't have the right leaders that had the right intentions, that had the right heart. If only, Sam, they had done that. You don't understand. Yeah, well, it's failed in every single case because people are people. People are human. People are fallible. People are greedy. And we all know that capitalism, right, is a system that works better with that set of realities. The same is true with a free press. The First Amendment, that thing that guarantees us free speech, right? That one piece of our Bill of Rights, it is so important because it doesn't seek to give a special level of privilege to one kind of speech over another kind of speech. It doesn't favor the New York Times over some blogger sitting in his basement with Dorito-stained fingers. It doesn't favor an institution like CNN over a radio program or a podcast, let's say. This is really crucial because otherwise we end up with a tyranny of opinion. And it always comes down to opinion, doesn't it? There's no such thing as non-opinion journalism. And there, I'll illustrate this point because there was a great piece at the end of November, and I put it off in my stack of stuff, but I thought, you know, I'm going to come back to this because it's going to be relevant. And Nicholas Lehman, writing in The New Yorker, which is, of course, a lovely liberal magazine here, right? It's very interesting because he talks about how great media was. You know, we didn't used to have this big of a fake news problem back in the day when broadcasting was regulated. And this is something we forget that, yeah, I mean, this is, and we can't go back to this, by the way, because think about it. Many of you are old enough to remember when ABC, CBS, ABC dominated. You had Walter Cronkite. You had, you know, I mean, you had only a handful of people giving you the news. That was non-opinion journalism. Only problem is they all had their opinions. They all had their biases. They were giant liberals. And there was no room for conservative voices. There was no such thing as equal time because these giant corporations decided what you and I needed to hear. They decided what was good for us. And this is what this whole thing with this hacking scandal is. Guess what? I'm really glad I found out all these terrible, horrible things that were being said back and forth by John Podesta, Donna Brazile, okay, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, about you and me, the American public. I'm glad we found that out. But every time they say fake news, every time that they say Russians hacked and this has to be stopped, they're telling you that you are too stupid to handle the truth. And it ought to be, you ought to be offended. You should. I'm offended every time I hear fake news. I think, what are you? Let me figure out if the source is good. Let me use my brain. Let me put this through my own filter. And while we're talking about the hack and we're talking about all this stuff, what? I mean, Hillary Clinton lost the election with CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, New York Times, the Washington Post, even the Wall Street Journal, all on her side. How is that even? It's not even fair. And the truth is that truth won out, and people decided what they believed and what they wanted to hear. And that's it. All right, when we come back, I'll give you a few more examples of this. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
The holidays are here. The roads are busy and drivers are crazy. If involved in an accident, go to sweetjames.com.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
All right, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. And, you know, as part of this now, have you heard about the electors? The people that will vote at the Electoral College, both Democratic electors, Republican electors, and then now faithless electors, which is this new term. It's an old term, but we're now learning it because there supposedly are so many defectors, people leaving Trump or Republican electors that will not vote for him. The only one that's confirmed is the one guy we spoke about, Chris Suprin from Texas. Now, there are apparently 9 other faithless electors who intend to frustrate democracy and put a wrench in the machine against Trump or try to fight him getting him becoming the president-elect officially. But this is what I find interesting. So there are 10 of these people. One of them's a Republican, and the other 9 are Democrats. They lost. I mean, what are the Democratic electors going to do when they show up? Are they going to try to convince their Republican counterparts that Trump is dangerous? That they ought to vote for, I don't know, Hillary Clinton? I mean, I don't see how that transaction occurs. Do you? I mean, they show up there. There's going to be people, I've talked about this. The people that are these designated electors are hardcore party loyalists. So you have hardcore Democrats. People like one of these people is Christine Pelosi, you know, Nancy Pelosi's daughter. So if she's one of them, you can imagine what these other people are like. Hardcore party loyalists on both sides. And I don't know if you're a hardcore party Republican. And again, this is why you got to understand. People are telling you right now, oh, Trump, it could all go up in smoke. He's not the president-elect yet. You know, by the way, what he is right now? Technically, he's the president-designate. Until he becomes officially the president-elect once he is elected by the Electoral College. A little side note. But people are, you're hearing it, right? And you're hearing even some very smart people, ostensibly smart, in the media saying, oh, you know, this could really go sideways. And it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because of common sense. I've talked about the numbers and everything. But long story short, the media is drumming this up. They want to create drama in part because they need to sell newspapers and get people to tune in. They need the ratings. But also because they are still in fantasy land, in total fantasy land. And that's part of the what is it? Denial is the stages of grief. You've got denial. Now, this is like when your boyfriend breaks up with you, you know, and you try to explain why he's done it. And you get angry, and then you're blaming other foul. It's that other girl, you know. It's that other girl. That's what this Russia thing's like. They're not willing to accept responsibility that they ran a terrible candidate, a candidate who wouldn't spend any time in the closing weeks of the election in key swing states. They ran a candidate who was basically something between, I don't know, a robot and a prison guard. Then you had a candidate, too, mind you, that, you know, in an economy, in an election that was all where voters cared about the economy. She hardly talked about the economy, did not make an economic case, even though she's running against an opponent whose sole theme was to reinvigorate the economy, bring jobs back to the middle class and lower middle class, manufacturing, et cetera, et cetera. So they ran a terrible campaign. And on a selfish note, I'm really glad that they aren't figuring it out. But you've got to understand this, that all these musings about the Russians and the Electoral College and everything is denial, a total, complete denial that the Democrats have and Hillary has, and that's, you know, and that's why you see her campaign lobbing onto this. And it's not going to go anywhere. So this what you've got to remember is none of this is going to go anywhere fast. All right. I want to talk about when we get back. Geert Wilders, he's a Dutch politician you may or may not have heard of. He's a big critic. He's a big critic of Muslim immigration. And he just got convicted. And I'm going to explain to you why. James Stanley is up next with the news. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. This is America, bitches. I'm sorry. Get a grip. Deal with it. You're in our house, but you've got to know the difference between tolerance and capitulation.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Welcome back. Hey, this just fresh off the press, and it's topical, so I'm going to bring it up. Looks like Reuters is now reporting that the watchdog, the group, it's called the ODNI, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. That's the group that oversees the CIA and other intelligence groups, is not exactly behind the CIA assessment. So what they're basically saying, and here's their quote, ODNI is not arguing that the agency, the CIA, is wrong, only that they can't prove intent, all right? And that's what I'm saying. And here's their saying that, all right, maybe Russia hacked, but what was their intent? Was their intent to throw the election to Trump? Was their intent to destabilize the American election? Was it to hurt Clinton? Was it to sow discord? What was it? What was the purpose of it? And so, just interesting. This is going to develop over the coming days and weeks, and I think we're going to find out it's a lot of hot air about nothing. Just some people, as Obama would say, popping off. Okay. Why am I talking about a little country in Europe that everybody's heard of, but only because they like marijuana brownies? Good question. I'll tell you why I'm talking about the Netherlands. By the way, one of those weird countries that goes by two different names. It's the Netherlands and Holland. So, you know, just fair warning here. It's one and the same. And it's a country near and dear to my heart because it's the place that gave my parents refuge when they themselves found themselves stateless after 1968 when they fled communist Czechoslovakia. And my dad settled there. And then when my parents were married, my mom joined him. Small country now, but it is one of the countries in Europe that is an important bellwether, and it began to be a crazy place when my parents lived there in the 70s. In fact, it was getting to be so politically crazy, it's the reason that they left. It's the reason that they came to America. And back when they were there in the 70s, They would always tell me. They would tell me before this guy Geert Wilders came around. They would tell me, you know, this is crazy, multiculturalism. I mean, they brought in a ton of immigrants. Now, careful, let me explain. Bring in a ton of immigrants, and Holland began to change. It became a little bit scary. Why? Well, because the Netherlands was a really liberal place. It was a really open society. You know, remember, they've got the red light district. They've got, you know, they had you know, legalized drugs when we thought that was just insane here. And then they began importing a bunch of very conservative Muslims from the Middle East. And they had very strict interpretations of Islam. And those two things began to clash. Now, I've talked about it here on the program. I'm not going to digress and get down that. But you can imagine that you've got on one side a liberal, very liberal society, very open society as far as what they accept as morally acceptable. And on the other hand, you've got some folks that that are, quite frankly, very medieval in what they want and to see and accept. And there's a clash, and the clash has oftentimes been violent, and people have been murdered and killed and abused in the streets and that type of thing. And along comes a politician who founded his own party. His name is Geert Wilders. He was at the Republican convention, and I had a chance to meet him. By the way, a really nice guy, even though he's portrayed to be a crazy, eater of babies by the liberal press. And Wilders here, he's been in trouble like this before, but I want to get into this. So what he said, he was at a somewhere and there was a rally, and he was he asked people if they wanted to have more immigrants come from Morocco, and the crowd began saying fewer, and then he answers to it, "We can arrange that," meaning cutting down on immigration, and that comment got him convicted in Dutch court of inciting discrimination and of insulting an ethnic group. Now, when I come back, I want to talk to you about just the type of world, where this comes from, what kind of ideology is behind it, and why there are people in our own society that would love if we had these kind of laws, and why that should scare you. Truly scare you. All right, we'll be back after this short break. Sam Brzozowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is James Bergener, reminding you to drive safely this holiday season. If hurt, go to sweetjames.com.
Talk Radio,
790 KABC.
Wow, did you just hear that traffic report? That's enough to curl your toes, isn't it? And now we're even going to have rain come, which, you know, by the way, what's up with that? We're already bad drivers as is. And then it starts to rain and everybody loses their mind out on the road. It's this thing in California. But so I'm telling you, right now, traffic is terrible. It's a bad time of year. Everybody's rushing around after work, leaving work, rushing to buy Christmas presents and whatnot. And so accidents are going to happen. People are doing weird stuff out there. And if somebody does something weird to you, you've got to make sure you get the right person to help you out. And that person in this case is, yeah, that's right, Sweet James Bergener, the only attorney that we trust on this program. To make sure that your rights are protected, you don't want to talk to the insurance company. Like, no, like, don't do that. You know, you get out of the car, get the other person's information. Don't tell them anything. Don't tell them you're sorry, even if you didn't, you know, just don't get into any of that. What you want to do, just get their information, make sure you got all the details, and then call Sweet James. Easy. 1-800-881-2021. What's the number again? I'll tell you. 1-800-881-2021. If you or a loved one need a good personal injury lawyer, James is the guy to call. He'll take care of you, make sure everything gets done. He's a guy you can trust. All right. And if you can't call, you can visit his website and contact him through there. SweetJames.com. All right, Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC. And talking about Dutch populist politician Geert Wilders. By the way, people don't know how to pronounce that. I'm giving you the proper pronunciation here because it's spelled Geert. And you'll have people say that, Geert Wilders. It's Geert in Dutch. Anyway, small note. So what did he do? There was a rally and he said, hey, do you want fewer Moroccan immigrants in your neighborhood? And everybody said, yeah, fewer Moroccans. And he said, yes, we can arrange that. And got convicted in court for inciting racial hatred. Now, remember when I'm talking about earlier in the show, I talked about fake news. And I told you it came down to what's fake news comes down to the person's bias of who's giving the news and who's receiving it. And I'm telling you, this is what's so great about our country, is that we have a First Amendment that gives you, by the way, gives you the right to say anything regardless of how offended someone might become. And this is why I tell you why political correctness is so dangerous. Because political correctness becomes this, it creates an institutionalization of rules, of the way we're supposed to think, the way we're supposed to talk. And it doesn't protect your right to say something. It ostensibly protects someone else from having their feelings hurt. Isn't that kind of a squishy standard? I mean, isn't that something that really, I don't know, can't be put into the letter of the law? And ultimately, this is something that then courts, look, if you've got conservatives, they're going to abuse that law. If you've got liberals, they'll abuse it. Both sides of the political spectrum end up potentially abusing that law in favor of themselves and their own agenda. The First Amendment is agendaless. And it's what I always say on this show. I say, look, you know, there are a lot of things that are uncomfortable to talk about. But a democracy to survive must allow for freedom of speech, must allow for these ideas to be discussed openly. And so here you've got a guy who's a member of parliament. He's an elected politician and all, and he got convicted. And guess what it did to his popularity, by the way? You're never going to guess. He's more popular than ever. And it looks like he's on course to become the next prime minister of Holland. So this is just to give you an example that this movement, this change that's happened in our country is happening in other places as well. All right, I'm going to tell you why the Washington Post has just lost its mind, and you're going to love this. This is a great article. It's just too good not to share. Oh, we'll be back after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. For the last 8 years, the government has basically taken a giant dump on us over and over and over again.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
Well, this is hilarious here. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC. So I've talked about how part of why no one saw the Trump victory coming is the separation that the elite media has from the rest of the country, the complete detachment. And it comes from a place of condescension, in my opinion. Well, this guy, Richard Cohen, goes by Dick Cohen. He's a longtime journalist over at the Washington Post. And he basically singles out a guy named Bernard Gibson. Now, who's Gibson? He's just an everyday Joe who ends up getting interviewed on NPR. And he's explaining why the state of Indiana flipped from Obama to Trump in this election. And here's what Gibson says. Gibson says, the guy that's interviewed says, these are real people here. These are not New Yorkers. This is not Chicago. This is not Los Angeles. You know, these are real people that live here every day, hand to hand, just have to work to make a living and everything else. I'm adding the, you know, little accent there. I don't know. I thought I'd do that. So what does Dick Cohen have to say about this? This is one of the senior editors at the Washington Post. Oh my goodness. He starts picking on this Gibson guy. Yeah. He basically says, you know, hey, I don't mean to pick on Gibson. It was a real person after all, but I'm tired of being told by him and others that I'm not quite a genuine American because I did not vote for Trump or because I live on one of the coasts. And then he gets into a giant bubble measuring contest. You're not going to believe this is so good. This is so good. You know, he goes, well, in the first place, my bubble is bigger than theirs. Size ought to matter in this instance. And he's talking about how there's more people that live on the coasts than in the middle of the country. Guys, I got to tell you, the media, they are so bent out of shape about this, how this whole thing went down. They are crushed by it. And you've got to read about every bit of news right now that comes out of the Washington Post is going through this prism. This is their bias. And here they're just slamming some poor rube guy that's talking about, you know, being singled out as, you know, living in flyover land. But the reality is they're just completely discounting what he says. This guy's arguing with him. But the best part of the story, is how he talks about how, you know, there were more people, you know, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. 2.8 million more Americans. You know, she says they won the popular vote. And then he says 2.8 million more Americans voted for Hillary than for Trump. Yeah. Here's the thing to remember. Hillary Clinton didn't win the popular vote. Don't let anybody tell you that. Okay? She didn't get more than 50% of the vote. She got less than 50% of the vote. Now she got 2.8 more million more votes than Trump did. She didn't win the popular vote. So that's something important. The only person that won the majority of anything is Trump in the Electoral College. So there it is. Take it for what it is. But I'm telling you, when you look at these fake news stories and when you look at this hacking scandal with Russia, just look. Oh, it's the Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN. And you got to realize these people are just so bumhurt about what happened in the election. They cannot get over themselves. All right. Yes, yeah, I'm going to talk about Rex Tillerson. I'll do that on Wednesday. We're off tomorrow night. I'm going to talk about the Secretary of State appointment. Looks like it's Rex Tillerson. And by the way, I know he's supposedly friendly with Russia. You got to look up. There's an amazing resemblance. That's right. He looks like Brezhnev. I don't know. Does anybody see it? I will post something on Instagram. I got to show you this. The total dead ringer for Leonid Brezhnev. All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is. 790, 790, 790, 790.
KABC.